Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I tried to tell you. You would not listen to me. It's a bad job by you. Everyone all up in arms. How dare you not agree with my position on Tiger Woods? Now, if you want to see the greatest comeback, all those Clipper players should get medals from President Donald Trump after that come-from-behind win. In Oakland, California, I assume you were watching the NBA Plus, but maybe not. Lou Williams, sweet Lou, sweet baby Jesus, Lou Williams, 36 points. And the Los Angeles Clippers, who were left for dead, the Golden State Warriors running about, around all flamboyant, they were celebrating, and up by 31 points. The Clippers then outscore the Golden State Warriors 72-37 in less than 20 minutes. Let me repeat that because we're on radio and sometimes you don't pay attention. The Los Angeles Clippers, with not a single all-star even sniffing the building, outscored the team of all-stars, the team of giants, a mythical team, the Golden State Warriors, 72-37. And to say that the Golden State Warriors were mollywopped in that run, that would be an understatement. That was a mollywop curb-stopping situation in the second half. And Landry Shamet, right? You can sham it all day. You can sham it all night with a humongous money ball late in that game as the Clippers completed the comeback for the ages. The single greatest comeback in the history of the NBA postseason. And, you know, I don't normally play highlights and play-by-play, but every once in a while there's an exception to the rule. I got it here! Give me the highlight!
Shea goes down the lane. Yeah. Right yeah. side to Shamet for three in the lead!
Yeah. Hot
damn! 131! 15 seconds to play! Timeout, Golden State!
Wow! I can't believe it! See that? That's Chuck the Condor in the victory formation there. That's Chuck the Condor flying over the arena in Oakland. One of my favorite quotes, and it's been credited to different people at different times in the history of the world, but the quote goes, you should never assume because you know what happens when you assume. You make an ass out of you and me, and that's how it works. And so the assumption was the Golden State Warriors were going to sweep the Clippers here. This is going to be a four-game series. Now, here's my position. Did I think the Clippers were going to come back? No, I did not. I did not. I thought they had a shot at a backdoor cover. So I was negotiating with myself watching the game, and I was like, well, they're down 31, but they could in garbage time outscore Golden State and get within striking distance where they got a shot to cover the spread. Did I think the choking dogs of Northern California would pull out the red carpet and say, here, knock yourself out? That was, as great as the Clippers, the better story is in the losing locker room, even though I'm not going to talk about that because I'm a Clipper guy. But the fact that the Clippers were able to exert their will in the fashion that they did against that team, the mighty Golden State Warriors, the team of the ages, with all these ball players, is a night that will not be forgotten. And the Clippers, are they going to do this three more times? Probably not. But it doesn't matter if they do it three more times. They now have home court advantage. The Warriors have to go in, and you say, well, it doesn't matter. The Warriors are still going to win. Yeah, but what if Steph Curry twists an ankle? And you know, Durant doesn't look that interested. Durant looks like he's checked out. He was very passive, Kevin Durant, in this particular game. And I had an epiphany about the time the game ended. The Clippers won the game 135-131 was the final. But I had an epiphany. And And I believe I'm right on this, that this night, while it is a singular night and not an entire body of work in a series, but this performance, and this is what I want to get into, this performance by the Warriors, blowing a 31-point lead against the Clippers, is more embarrassing than blowing a 3-1 lead against the Cavaliers in the 2016 NBA Finals. All right, so that's going to be the toss-up question. More embarrassing, Warriors playoff moment all time, blowing a 3-1 lead to the Cavs in the 2016 Finals, or gagging a 31-point lead to the Clippers in the opening round of the NBA playoffs in the year 2019. Now, the answer is what happened just a few minutes ago. That is more embarrassing. That's more humiliating. That is a kicker to the nuts is what that is to the Golden State Warriors. Now, and I'll walk you through this. I want to make my elevator pitch here with all due respect to Kevon Looney and the Golden State Warriors. I will make my pitch here as to why that is more embarrassing, what happened with the Warriors in this game, than the NBA Finals. First of all, the Clippers, the fact that the Warriors blew this lead to a ragtag lineup, not an all-star. You know, how many teams have even gotten to the win total? I think I saw a stat somewhere, like in the history of the NBA, teams that get to 45-plus wins without having an all-star on their roster, I think it's like a handful of teams. I think like five teams all time. But the Clipper lineup, led by Danilo Gallinari, going into the game, you thought Danilo Gallinari would be the guy that would kind of lead the way there. And he had good numbers. He had 24 points. But in the comeback, it was all about two guys. It was about Montrezl Harrell, and it was about the brilliant play of Sweet Lou Williams in the second half. But not even the second half, because it was really just it was the final 20-minute push of that game. And, you know, I don't want to get caught too far into the woods here. I don't want to do that because that would be wrong to do that. But if you were to look at the game and say, all right, the final 20 minutes of the game, we'll just forget the final 19 and a half. We'll do the final 20 minutes of the game. And the Clippers on that particular run, 74-43. And in that stretch, Lou Williams had 26 points and Montrezl Harrell had 17. These guys, while I enjoy watching them play and I enjoy the way they play, these guys are nobodies. They don't have a bunch of NBA championships. They don't have a bunch of hardware that they won from MVP awards and things like that. Lou Williams wins the Sixth Man of the Year every other year because, you know, he doesn't start and he scores a bunch of points off the bench. But Montrezl Harrell, who was garbage from the Rockets and was a throwaway in the Chris Paul trade a couple years ago, and these guys, the Clippers' mindset, they're like a bunch of cockroaches. They are. Jerry West, the senior advisor of the Clippers, the whole plan was to trade away a couple of key guys at the deadline, and then they were going to lose and they were going to miss the playoffs. That was the big plan, best laid plans of mice and men and NBA executives. And so they were like, all right, we'll get rid of Tobias Harris, not an all-star, but close to an all-star talent. And Boban Marjanovic, we'll get rid of him. They also traded away some other players. And the cockroaches would not die. They would not die. But the reason, in addition to the Clippers just being a ragtag lineup of rejects, has-beens, never-wers, the Warriors were at home here. They had the home cooking. And unlike the 2016 Warriors, Kevin Durant firmly implanted into the lineup, although it looked like he wasn't that interested. So it's the equivalent of in combat. The Clippers, it was like Little Bighorn for the Clippers going in there. And we know how Little Bighorn turned out. But in this case, Little Bighorn, the script flipped. The second thing, when I look back and when history looks back at the 2016 NBA Finals and the Warriors blowing that 3-1 lead, while certainly it's a kick to the you-know-whats and a blow to the machismo of the Warriors, they do have a fall guy, right? That was before they had Kevin Durant. They could argue that. And Draymond Green got suspended for kicking guys in the nuts and he was watching an A's game, an A's Rangers game, if I remember correctly, while the Warriors were playing an NBA Finals game. And more importantly, that was back when the Cavaliers had LeBron James before he went Hollywood and decided to make movies at Warner Brothers and be kind of half an NBA player. So they had LeBron James, a younger LeBron James, still in his prime, and Kyrie Irving, who went nutso and went crazy town in a couple of those games for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Two guys that are Hall of Fame players for Cleveland and a pretty good player in Kevin Love, who was part of that. The Clippers, again, I like Patrick Beverley. He's an angry player. Landry Shamet can hit some three-point shots, but Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, this is a more embarrassing situation for the Golden State Warriors to be outscored 72-37 in the final 19 and a half minutes of this game. I don't know how else I can say it. I mean, the final thing here, we'll see what happens. The first two games have now been played. Now you go back to Los Angeles for games three and games four, Thursday and Sunday. And I want you to take the Clippers lightly because they seem to feed off that. They like that. They like the fact that the dopes, they have no chance. They're dead. They're all that. They're on life support. And just absolutely wonderful. Let's go into the winning locker room. That would be the Clipper locker room, the winning locker room. That's the Clippers. They beat the Warriors. I don't know if you know that. Greatest comeback in NBA history. They were down by as many as 31 points, the Clippers. In the final 19 and a half minutes, they come back and win. Here's Doc Rivers pointing out that it was players that were not supposed to do the things they were doing that got it done for his team. He loved it.
We were just looking for a lineup tonight. I mean, they were beating us in every facet of the game, and we kept searching, and we kind of stumbled on one that we liked. We changed a couple of things offensively and defensively in the fourth or in the third on the fly, and, you know, it worked out for us. But I thought it was our spirit more than anything, you know, just every single guy. I loved the end of the game that Shea made a great decision pass, and then Shea made a big shot. Those are two of our rookies down the stretch of a game. I loved it.
I could listen to Doc Rivers talk all night. I might do that. I might just listen to Doc Rivers talk all night. I might. Now, this is always good. The Clippers are getting just taken to the woodshed at halftime. They are being roasted. They're being barbecued by the Golden State Warriors at halftime. And so Doc Rivers then is asked, well, what happened? What happened at halftime?
What did you tell them at halftime?
That we were going to win. You know, just hang in there. Just hang in there long enough. I was honest with him. I said, I don't know how. I said, we're going to figure this out. But just hang in there. Just hang in there with each other. And I thought they did that.
He doesn't believe that. Doc Rivers doesn't believe they were going to come back and win that game. Come on, please. Who's he kidding? Do you realize? I want to repeat this here. Now, before this series started, according to the wise guys in Vegas, the Clippers are the largest NBA underdogs since 1988. Ronald Reagan was the president of the United States the last time we had an underdog of this size in the NBA postseason, this big a mismatch. And so the Clippers have won, and now they have to win three more games. And if the Clippers win, should they knock out the Golden State Warriors, I am proposing, along with my friend Clipper Darryl, a parade. I am proposing a parade. I don't even like parades. I think parades are stupid and dumb and all that stuff. But should the Clippers beat the Golden State Warriors, we need a parade. And it's going to go all over the parade won't even be in L.A. It'll be in Oakland. We'll have a parade in Oakland to mock the Golden State Warriors. That's what we will. We'll have to do that. We'll work on that. Just great. You want more? I'll give you more. But wait, there's more. In the comeback. Again, don't call it a comeback. 72-37, that end of game from the last 19 and a half minutes of the game. The Clippers shot 69%. Where's Gronk? They shot 69% from the floor in that stretch. The Golden State Warriors, less than 30. They shot 29%. Steph Curry? That's some foul Curry. 2 of 9 for Steph Curry. The Warriors were outscored by 20 points with Steph Curry on the court. But wait, there's more. Klay Thompson, in that end-of-game stretch, Clay, wear your dunce cap along with Draymond Green. The Warriors with Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, two all-star ball players, outscored by 31 points with those guys on the court in the second half. Kevin Durant, the Warriors outscored by 27 points in that comeback run by the Clippers.
Poop fest.
Wow. Am I going to have to reevaluate here? Is this the Western Conference now? Could someone else actually win the Western Conference? I mean, if the Clippers with this lineup can do that, what about a team with good players? What about a team with headliners and MVPs and all that? I mean, wow! Man! All right, I could keep going, but I'm told I have to say hello to Eddie Garcia, who's right over there. Hello, Eddie. We are here. Just a normal night, Eddie. Just a normal night.
Yeah. You might want to have that parade as soon as possible, Ben.
Well, you said they would not win a game, and it's a bad job by you. Shame on you. You're a hater. You're negative. I do positive radio. You do negative radio. Shame on you. Kiss the boot, Eddie. Kiss the boot. Go ahead.
Kiss the condor's foot. Yeah.
Kiss the boot. That's Chuck the Condor, happiest mascot in the NBA. Like, the great like Chuck the Condor.
Might want to have that parade right now. If you can.
Say a wonderful thing.
Ben's planning a parade. What was your favorite phrase from yesterday's show? Prisoner of the moment.
Oh no! This is not prisoner of the moment. That is that's called history, Koopaloop.
So was yesterday.
No,
Tiger
that wasn't
winning a major is
no,
not
no,
history.
That's nothing. No, who cares about Tiger? He's a philandering alcoholic drunkard. Who cares about Tiger Woods? The NBA though. The Clippers. I love the NBA. It's fantastic, Eddie. It's fantastic.
That's what I heard.
It's absolutely great.
That was a great call on the Sham It All Day.
You know what? Let's play it again. Do we have
it? I won't mind. I want to hear it again.
This is the voice of the Clippers here. Let's play this. Go ahead. Hit the button right there. Hit that button.
Sham It All Day. Sham It All Night.
Yeah. Well, Roberto actually wasn't here when the show started. It was Coop, so they don't know. But anyway, play the soundbite we played earlier. I don't know what the hell it is. Play the damn soundbite. You guys got here 5 minutes before the show. We know what to play. Oh my God, Eddie. Oh my God.
Oh, that's geez. Traffic. Traffic problem.
Traffic. Then. I know. Yeah, I know.
It's big city traffic here, Los Angeles.
Big problem. A lot of that rush hour traffic doing the overnight show is a bloody nightmare. All right. Well, apparently we can. Two Laker fans. Can't fan the high. Oh, there it is.
Right side to Shamet for three in the lead. Hot damn! 133, 131, 15 seconds to play. Timeout, Golden State.
Now, is he going to get in trouble for saying the word damn?
Was it a hot damn or was it hot damn? Because he didn't know what to say. He just got excited. I'm not sure.
I think we need to play it again to decide because, damn is a curse
it's
word.
It's either hot damn or ah damn.
I'm hearing hot damn in my headphones, but let's play it again. Here we go.
Goes down the lane, right side to Shamet for three in the lead. Hot damn!
That's hot damn.
That's
a hot damn.
131, 15 seconds to play. Timeout, Golden State.
You don't hear a lot of hot dams these days.
I'm laughing at the Warriors, Eddie. Eddie, they lost to Lou Williams,
Ben Maller evil laugh.
Eddie,
it makes me laugh every time.
Eddie, they lost to Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. They blew a 31-point lead because you can sham it all day. You can sham it all night. Hot damn! Hot damn, Eddie! Wow!
Oh,
the Clippers won, Eddie. They beat the Warriors.
I'd be shocked, too.
Adam Silver just emailed everyone, Eddie. That's worth four wins. The Clippers have advanced.
They have no
All-Stars. They've now advanced. One Clipper win over the Warriors with no All-Stars is worth four wins for any other team that has to win four games. So the Clippers have won. They've advanced. Big news here, Eddie. Very exciting. This is positive radio. This is what we're doing. We're doing positive
radio. Are the Clippers getting a Medal of Honor like Tiger Woods is from the president?
That's what I'm saying. They should get. That's what I started the monologue by saying. Forget Tiger Woods. The Clipper players should get medals from the White House. I mean, I'm upset with Trump because of my taxes, but they ought to give medals out. That'll be a nice olive branch. It'll be great.
Well, it's going to be a fun night here on the Ben Maller Show. Ben's in a great mood.
Yeah, I'm in a good mood. Yeah. I'm in a really good mood. I'm in a happy mood. I was fired up.
He did the Ben Maller happy dance earlier. He was
in
the car, but he still did it.
I did. I was honking my horn, Eddie, when I heard the highlight. I was honking my horn. I said, hot damn myself. I said, hot damn. Just like that. That'll be a drop on the show. Ryan Seaman, that'll be a drop on the show that we will play. Should I get him to call into the show? We don't do guests, though, Eddie. I have his number. He's probably flying back.
Oh, he's out. He's out at the bar right now getting loaded.
He's saying, hot damn right now. I'm having a good time at the bar. I'm having a great time. Wow.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The dance, the flirtation of a contract negotiation playing out in real time. And Russell Wilson was playing a game of chicken with the Seattle Seahawks. The assumption by many knowledgeable football people was that there's no way a professional operation worth billions of dollars like an NFL team will cave in to an arbitrary, artificial deadline. Well, surprise, surprise, surprise. Now, in real time, you go back and hear the podcast, but the early reports out of Seattle indicated that there was no deal, that there was no deal. The deadline was at midnight Pacific, which was a couple of hours ago. We waited an hour after the deadline. I said, you know what? I'm not going to be hornswoggled. I'm going to wait an hour. If there's no deal within an hour of the deadline, there's no deal. And the early reports out of Seattle media were no contract, the people that cover the Seahawks. And then in the middle of the Maller monologue, the nuclear bomb gets dropped in the football world that not only was there a deal at the 11th hour, but Russell Wilson gets a four-year, $140 million contract in new money. The extension includes a $65 million signing bonus. Wow! I mean, that is a jaw-dropping deal for Russell Wilson. The Seahawks have been treading water in mediocrity. They're not a non-playoff team. They're just a fringe playoff team is where the Seahawks are right now. But the full contract details, as being reported by state-run NFL media, Russell Wilson is now the guy that carries the torch for the NFL. He's now the highest paid player in pro football, a 4-year contract for 140, but you got the $65 million to sign. The total guarantee is $107 million. $107 million. There's a no trade clause, which is included in the contract. And so if you do the Maller math, Russell Wilson is now handcuffed, or vice versa, the Seahawks are handcuffed to Russell Wilson for 5 years, $157 million for Russell Wilson to play quarterback in Seattle. Now, we were given the gift of the awkward, nerdy, trying to be cool quarterback in the bedroom with Sierra, Russell Wilson. And you know, typically these kind of things, you say, well, you got to see the video. But just imagine Russell Wilson laying in bed. He's in bed, no shirt on. He's got the chains and doing the whole thing. And his wife there, Sierra, is laying on top of him. And Russell then, holding the phone in one hand, drops this bombshell to announce the contract agreement with the Seahawks.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, we can go to sleep.
See y'all in the morning.
I'll see you. See you in the morning, Russell. I haven't been to bed yet, though, Russell. I do an overnight show, so I'm up all night, man. I'll be going to the gym after this, so I'll be awake, you know. I'll be awake as the NFL world wakes up to this contract. So it's the highest average annual value in a contract, $35 million. First player ever to announce his contract while naked in bed with his wife laying on top of him. That's never happened before in NFL history. So congratulations there to Russell Wilson on that. And there you go. So that's where we are. So the question, anytime you get a deal like this, the question is, who won the negotiation? Who won the negotiation? Is it Russell Wilson or is it the Seattle Seahawks? The answer here is Russell Wilson by a KO, first round knockout, like the legend of that old boxer Mike Tyson before my time, when he would walk into the ring against some tomato can and within like 20 seconds the fight was over and Tyson would put his hands in the air victorious. Well, in this situation, The analogy is that Russell Wilson was Mike Tyson. He was Mike Tyson. And the Seattle Seahawks were the tomato can. All right, that's how this played out. Now you have the peasants, Conan, and the albatross. And we will combine all of these things together into a nice baba ganoush. And we'll have it, we'll deliver it to you fresh, because you like fresh baba ganoush, and we'll give that to you. Now, first of all, the Seattle Seahawks brass, which is Pete Carroll and a bunch of wonks in the Seahawks front office, who have now signed off on this to make Russell Wilson the highest paid player. Do I think Russell Wilson should have gotten a new contract? Sure. Was it necessary? No. The Seahawks, at this time, it was not necessary. The Seahawks front office wear the dunce cap. They do. In this situation, after thorough analysis, the Seahawks look like a bunch of rubes. I was just doing a monologue explaining, walking through why I was going to praise the Seattle Seahawks. I was in the process of praising them because they didn't cave in, right? They didn't do it. They had everything in their favor. The move here was slow and steady wins the race, and instead they panicked. Right? They absolutely panicked like a bunch of peasants. A bunch of peasants. Completely unnecessary. Right? The Seattle Seahawks got played and Russell Wilson got paid. It's just great for him. But for the Seattle Seahawks, what an embarrassment. In fact, they should have to sit in the corner of the room at the next league owner meetings, the Seattle Seahawks. This is such a bad deal for the Seattle Seahawks on so many different levels and for so many different reasons. Now, the second thing here, Russell Wilson, he's the boss. I mean, this is the ultimate alpha male move by Russell Wilson. And I give him credit. I did not think that he could pull this off. This is like a magician pulling the rabbit out of the hat, cutting the woman in half. What Russell Wilson was able to do here, and I don't like to give anyone credit, but I got to give Russell Wilson credit. I do. I mean, this was a complex situation from the standpoint any front office worth their salt would have not caved in. They had no reason to cave in. They had all the leverage. In any negotiation, they always say, the art of the deal, whatever it is, whoever's got the leverage wins the negotiation. The Seahawks had the leverage. They had the flush, and they flushed it down the toilet is what they did. They had the ace, the king, the queen, the jack, everything lined up in a row. And they said, I don't want it. I don't want that. I don't want any of that. So, in the end, Russell Wilson stands like Conan the Barbarian. He gets the Bafo Sacco contract, and he gets everything he wants, by all accounts, wants to be the highest paid player in the NFL. He got that. He wants the no trade. He got that. He wants the $100 million guaranteed. He got that. Everything. Done, 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 done. He got everything. There's nothing he didn't get, you know, as far as financial is concerned, other than the percentage, but he's the highest paid player in the NFL. Now, the final word on this, these kind of contracts historically, much like in baseball, where if you sign a player to a 10, 11, 12, 13-year contract, they backfire. In football, someone is going to have to be the first as a quarterback to get one of these redonkulous contracts and win big. Because if you look at the history, and these contracts aren't all that old, these massive contracts, but it has been proven to be football malpractice going forward, that it is misconduct is in terms of winning. You are at a strategic disadvantage. And you look at the Patriots model, and Tom Brady has never been the highest paid player in football. And as a result of that, the Patriots have been able to go out and been, for the last 20 years, eating nothing but licorice and gummy bears and just enjoying the hell out of life because they can reallocate that money elsewhere. But the Russell Wilson contract becomes a gigantic albatross. It is a huge obligation, and until proven otherwise, it is dead weight for Seattle. And the main reason it's dead weight is not that Russell Wilson can't play. He's a good quarterback in the NFL. The problem is that he is what's known as a game manager. That is how Seattle has chosen to play their offense. They essentially gave a player a contract who might as well have given Alex Smith, the old cliche of Alex Smith, the caretaker of the offense, which is an offensive term and all that, for quarterbacks. That's what Seattle's done. Seattle has chosen to run a conservative offense where the quarterback's job is to mainly avoid mistakes. It's a rather dull approach. Statistically, the numbers back that up. So the Seahawks like to play a modern version of the old-school smash-mouth football. They like the north-south running game, the ground and pound, whatever cliches you want to use to describe the Seahawks offense. In fact, of all the offenses in the NFL, last year, the Seattle Seahawks, they ran the fewest pass attempts of any – Russell Wilson had the fewest pass attempts of any regular starting quarterback in the NFL. That's just the reality. It was a remedial game plan. So if you're going to run a dumbed-down playbook, which is your right? You hire a Schottenheimer disciple. You run that offense. If you're going to run that style of football, what the bleepity bleep, bleep, bleep are you thinking paying that guy $35 million a year? It makes no sense. It's stupid town is what it is. It's ridiculous. But that is what the Seahawks have done. And again, it's Russell Wilson. I give him credit because he was able to flex his muscles. I didn't think this would work. I really thought that it would be ridiculous. It was a completely farcical idea to give Russell Wilson this contract.
I'm stupid.
It was absurd when it was brought up. I thought, well, there's no way. This is useless. This demand is going to be in vain for Russell Wilson. And sure enough, the Seahawks are the ones that they caved in. But, man, wow. All right, so I'll say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold, Garcia. I like nights like this, Ed. These are fun nights. And usually
we don't have many of these.
We put the show to bed. Nothing changes from about, 10 o'clock at night on. Nothing changes. But this is what I thought the show was going to be when I put the baby to bed with Koopa Loop. I would say 75% of the things I thought I was going to be talking about did not happen. We didn't get to any of that. So I pretty much wasted my entire day getting ready for the show. Wow. But I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that because this is
well,
fun.
We like to have breaking news. We like to be the first ones to get to comment on stories and give you our opinions.
And attention, Clay Travis, Dan Patrick, and all you other daytime people, you're getting our sloppy seconds. That's right. We've already talked about these stories.
It's a very classy way to put it.
Thank you very much. That's right. We've talked about these stories first. You will be talking about old news. Not us. Fresh news, Eddie, right out. It's popping. It's piping hot out of the oven, Eddie.
It's
or popping.
Too.
Yeah,
who
could
knows?
Be popping.
Maybe it's
could
in the microwave. Popping. Who left it in too long? Who knows?
This is the perfect show, Eddie. We did 2 hours of a victory lap for the Clippers. 31-point comeback win, greatest in NBA history last night. And now we've done the last 2 hours on Russell Wilson. And in real time, Eddie, again, in real time, I can't stress this enough. As I was praising the Seahawks for doing the right thing, the news came out that Russell Wilson had got the contract.
It's amazing. Every once in a while we'll get a story about, unfortunately somebody passing away in the overnight hours or somebody being arrested. But this is not that. This is, the late game of the day had an incredible ending and then actual news breaking overnight. It's very rare.
Yeah, it is. Good, but I stand by my Marilyn Monroe. The win goes to Russell Wilson in this negotiation. The Seahawks now, much like the baseball contracts, Eddie, we've not seen one of these work out. Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl before he got the contract. Since he got the contract, they haven't won in Green Bay. Am I missing one?
So you think it's when it's time to pay these quarterbacks, it's better just to trade them? Is that what?
I'm just saying it hasn't worked out historically since these massive contracts have happened. But I wouldn't be opposed to it. Like I'm not married to these.
I mean, Brady got didn't Brady get him?
I'll put it this way: when Jared Goff, when his time is up and his contract is up, I would have no problem trading Jared Goff because I believe that he is a product of Sean McVay, and Sean McVay walks him through the plays before plays and tells him, "Hey, there's watch out for the safety over the." So I wouldn't have a problem with that, but like I look at Russell Wilson the same way I look at Jared Goff because they don't throw the ball enough. where it's a conservative, dumbed-down offense that the Seahawks have run in the last couple of years. So, anyway, we'll press on here. If you want to be part of the show, 877-99 on Fox is the number, 877-996-6369. Mr. Nice Guy says Russell Wilson's agent floated all those New York stories out there, and the Seahawks bought it. Well, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, it was a brilliant strategy by Russell Wilson, and he had other players. The Honey Badger was in on this. Does Honey Badger get a cut of the money? Does the Honey Badger, who spread those rumors that Russell wants to play in New York, does he get a share of the money? I mean, why not? You get paid, everyone gets paid. Let's go to JJ in Seattle, the belly of the beast. Hello, JJ.
Hey, Ben. I think it's going to be okay. Russell's going to be throwing deep balls on the Rams for the next 4 years. It's going to be great.
I think it'll be great, too, because the Rams will win the game, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They put up 3 points in the Super Bowl. But
Of course, they did get to the Super Bowl. We know the Seahawks had a problem with the Cowboys, who the Rams ran over, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, yeah, it's all good. But, you know, you asked a question about Washington taxes. There are none here. We have no state income tax. So he would have been dumb to go to New York, you know, lose 10% on that.
Dumb to go to New York. He would have just had to create a bogus charity and create a corporation. I guess there's still ways you can get out of paying taxes, but it's harder now under the Donald Trump tax code.
You're fired.
All right, Ben. Have a good night.
All right, JJ. Go to bed. Thank you, JJ. All
right, JJ sounded like he was also in his bed.
You think he was under the weather a little bit?
Yeah. It sounded like he was in his bed like Russell Wilson was.
I need to hear that Russell Wilson again. This is one of the great sound bites we've ever had. This is a good night for sound. We had the Clipper guy. Why don't we do both amazing sound bites? Do we have the Clipper guy? We'll play that. And this was the game-winning shot, as it turned out, by Landry Shamet. I remember when the Clippers traded for this guy? I said, I'd never heard of him, but I like him. And he hit the big money ball for the Clippers last night. And that led to a iconic play-by-play call from Clippers radio.
Shea goes down the lane, right side to Shamet for three in the lead. Hot damn!
Hot
133,
damn!
131, 15 seconds to play. Timeout, Golden State.
Yeah, so there was that. And then we had Russell Wilson with the ultimate Poindexter, I'm trying to be cool, but I'm a nerd move, in bed, shirt off, chains on, wife on top of him, literally, I'm not making that up. And after the deal was done, here's Russell Wilson.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, you can go to sleep.
See y'all in the morning.
If we played Cite the Bite and you asked me who that was, I would not guess that was Russell Wilson with his sexy, raspy, I'm in bed with my hot wife voice.
I hate to do this, but could we find some old Russell Wilson where he's doing a Pete Carroll? He's got the soft
Pete Carroll
voice.
Yeah, that does not
sound
like Pete Carroll.
So is that he's doing an act when Russell Wilson's doing that voice?
Maybe this is his real voice.
Is this the real Russell Wilson and he's playing a character? He's pretending to be the nerdy guy with Pete Carroll cliches and all that? Who is the real Russell Wilson? Who's the real Russell Wilson?
Okay, I got one right
here. All right, let's play. This is an old Russell Wilson sound. Let's see if he sounds the same here. Let's listen.
I think God cares about football. I think God cares about everything that he created. And when I was just giving honor to God, it's more so because I know all the things I've been through in my life.
All right, stop. All right, so that was Russell Wilson after a Seahawks game. This is Russell Wilson just in like an hour and a half ago or 2 hours ago. This is Russell Wilson within the last 2 hours. This is great.
Hey, Seattle. We got a deal.
God cares about football. I think God cares about everything that he created.
I think the bedroom voice is the fake voice.
You
I think that's the one he's putting on.
Yeah,
he's putting
on. I agree with Coop there. Yep. Yeah. Did he take some testosterone pills or something before
the
he
blue
laid
pill?
It? He might have taken.
No, he literally just finished laying it down.
So his voice is down a few octaves.
Who's your big stud here in Seattle? Yeah.
Who's your daddy?
Who brings the lumber?
$100 million, baby.
Oh, this is great.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, let's get to it. No time to dilly-dally Koopaloo.
Ben, so reports say that Blake Griffin is likely out for the entirety of the Pistons series. Now, after the Pistons lost to 35 points on Sunday, Griffin said if it were up to him, he'd be playing. Ben, do you think he would have made that big of a difference?
Yes, I do. Listen, Blake Griffin, first of all, he's not a superstar. He's a second-tier guy now. The Pistons were like a lost child wandering in the wilderness without the Blake effect on their team. And B, Detroit, they played like a bunch of lightweights. With Blake Griffin in the lineup, they would have had more of the fighting spirit, which you have to have. And he's not the greatest of the greatest, but he is a key cog for the Pistons. That was gutless basketball. So, yes, I believe that Blake would have made an impact. Next!
Now, Nick Saban revealed over the weekend that he is going to have his hip evaluated because he wants to coach for, quote, a lot of more years.
A lot of more years.
Yeah. Yes. Saban is already 67 years old, Ben. How many more years do you think he'll coach?
I'm going to go a minimum of 8 years. Like, Saban, I've done the whole analysis here. Even though Alabama got bushwhacked by Clemson, the machine is set up. So Saban is, if you look at his age now, another 8 years will put him at 75. I think he's 67 years old right now. He gets 5 to 7 players every year in the NFL. I see no reason to quit. Coaches that quit coaching die shortly after. Next!
Now, yesterday you said the 76ers loss was the most embarrassing of the weekend, but Kyle Lowry had to have the most embarrassing individual performance, put up a donut, 0-for-7.
Yeah, it did.
Is he the all-time worst playoff choker, Ben? Well, where do you have him?
He's the worst of this generation, tied with DeMar DeRozan, his former teammate with the San Antonio Spurs, with a wink and a nod to Paul George, occasionally James Harden. But, yeah, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, there's a special wing in the choke wing for those two guys. How do we do, Koopaloop?
You pass.
I won the game like the Clippers! Like the Clippers, I won the game! Woohoo!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Now, Maller's Mountain of Money.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Do you have what it takes to get to the top? Probably not.
All right, let's do it. We don't have a lot of time, so let's get right to the game here. It is Maller's Mountain of Money. Leonardo da Vinci edition of Maller's Mountain Money. We welcome in our contestants, first of all, from San Diego. We say hello to Jonathan. Hello, Jonathan.
Yes, hello.
Welcome in, Jonathan. And what do you do for a living?
I'm in between jobs right now.
Okay, so am I. Yeah, I'm doing radio. all right, very good. What kind of, are you looking for work, Jonathan? Are you looking around?
Yeah, tomorrow I'm applying at Homo Casino, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck. I hope it's tough. I've been unemployed at times. It sucks. All right. Hold on a sec, Jonathan. And we have MGM John who's going to play in Vegas. Hello, MGM John.
Pokey, 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 Mr. Ben.
All right. Very good. You were there. You were a regular. Jonathan, who do you want to partner up with, Jonathan? You were on the air first.
I'll take you. I'll take Ben Mallett.
All right. Good job by you, Jonathan. You want to win. MGM John, who do you want to partner up with?
I'm going with mi hermano, Roberto.
With Roberto. All
Let's do
right.
it.
That's the team. Here we go. Let's get right to it. We don't have a time. We got to go quick.
All right. The Leonardo da Vinci edition. He would have been 567 years old today.
Cowboy would tell us that.
The categories are Virgin of the Rocks, Lady with an Ermine, The Last Supper, and Mona Lisa. Jonathan, what category would you like?
Mona Lisa.
All right. MGM John, what category for you?
Virgin with a supper.
All right. Yeah. Well, whatever. That's like you combined like three of them. Okay. Right. We'll start with Mona Lisa with Jonathan and Ben. These athletes are all considered to have great smiles. 45 seconds on the clock. I need the first and last name of the athletes. Ready? Begin.
All right, he's just won the Masters, the green jacket.
Tiger Woods.
That is correct. Receiver for the 49ers. I love my hands. That whole thing. Play with the Cowboys. A very flamboyant receiver. Just retired. Hall of Famer. No? All right, Pat. Tight end for the old San Diego Chargers and the L.A. Chargers. He's still playing. He came back out of – correct. Center fielder for the Seattle Mariners. He's in the Hall of Fame, known as the Kid when he played for the Mariners in the 90s and the 2000s. Oh, come on. Let's jump ahead. Former Mets shortstop arrested for domestic violence while with the Rockies. They chant his name at oh, my God.
I did hear him say Terrell Owens, though.
Did you? I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, it's 60 points. Still not great.
You never heard of Ken Griffey Jr.?
Yes, I have. I know. He's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Jose Reyes also. Reyes.
The good news is that MGM John is terrible at this game.
That's true.
It's a good thing we had him play.
Do you want Virgin of the Rocks, John? Is that what you were going for?
Yep.
Okay. 45 seconds on the clock. These allegedly sober athletes would probably order a virgin on the rocks. 45 seconds. Begin.
All right. Point guard for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Triple-double machine. Number 0.
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. The mound round the rebound. Analyst for TNT.
What is it?
The mound round the rebound. Analyst for TNT. What's the university?
Andre Drummond.
Yes.
Pass.
Hall of Fame quarterback for the New York Jets, guaranteed the Super Bowl win over the Baltimore
Joe
Colts.
Joe Namath.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
The Worm played for the Detroit Pistons, Chicago Bulls, San Antonio Spurs, and the Lakers.
Dennis Rodman.
That's right.
Oh, in the lead.
Pitcher for the New York Mets, New York Yankees. He was an alcoholic.
Bob Seaver?
No.
All right.
Still in the lead,
what
though.
What a game.
You missed Charles Barkley, the mound round of rebound. You also missed
Andre Drummond's nickname, apparently.
A little backwards.
You also missed Dwight Gooden.
The round mound of rebound.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get. Hurry up.
All right. All right. Jonathan, do you want Lady with an Ermine or The Last Supper?
Last supper.
All right, you need to speak up, also.
Sounds like Russell Wilson.
Jonathan. Speak up, Jonathan. Here we go.
All right, these athletes probably should think about having less suppers. 45 seconds, begin.
All right, Mr. Padre, he passed away, the greatest Padre.
Tony Gwynn.
Correct. The Polish kicker, late of the Oakland Raiders, he played in Seattle last
year. Sebastian.
Correct. The fat tub pitcher, former Mets pitcher, Big Sexy. We used to make jokes about him all the time. He's no longer playing anymore. Starting pitcher baseball? No. How about Big Poppy from the Red Sox? He's not playing anymore either. Big
David Ortiz.
Yeah, there you go. Good job by you. Yeah. All right, former number one pick for the Chicago Bulls, high school kid. Same last name as Steph for the Warriors, but no? All right. Pitcher for the Cubs in the 2000s, feisty guy, out of baseball, former All-Star.
All right, good strategy, 170. MGM, John, you got to go. These athletes all have exotic pets.
I won the game, Eddie! I won the game!
I won.